The Kemmick Royals Cricket Club podcast is proud to be sponsored by Royalty Plumbing. Royalty Plumbing is a reliable plumbing, gas and electrical company dedicated to providing quality service throughout the Perth area. Give them a call today on 9451 7735.
Welcome back to another episode of the Kenwick Cricket Club podcast. Obviously, we had James August on for the first episode of the brand new season, I guess you'd call it. And unfortunately, my co-host was away and Hayden Arducci stepped in and did a tremendous job. But welcoming back the junior vice president of the SNCA, Stephen Kemp. Welcome back.
Ahoy, Matthew. Thank you for having me back. Thank you for filling in Gooch.
You think you did a good job?
Oh, you did a great job. I really liked how very early in the piece he said that he was going to push his own agenda. And as cricketers, you know, that's what we have to do. So, yeah, well played. Great episode too.
Yeah, it was a good episode. James August, very good quality.
Yeah, very good. Very happy with that. But I tell you what, I'm very excited because you and I have had chats off air about, you know, who do we want to get on this show? And in a bit of a TGC parlance, if you will, you know, who are our white whales? Who do we want to get on the show? And you and I bandied about a few names.
Yeah.
And we cast the line out into that big wide ocean. We just said, is there a chance? Can we get this man?
Well, you've gone through and had a look at a few of this guy's stats. Do you want to go through a few of his credentials and introduce him?
Crikey Moses. So the biggest of the white whales as far as the Kenwick Cricket Club is concerned. Let me get comfortable. Strap yourself in because we're going to be here a while. I'll start with the off-field exploits. Mm. Now, bear in mind, these may not be fully complete, so we'll have to ask the man himself. He'll tell us what I've omitted. Secretary from 1993-4 season to 1998-99. Junior Cricket Club Secretary, 98-99. Junior Club Coach, 98 through to 2001. President from 1999-2000 of the Senior Club through to 2002-2003. Registrar of the club from 2003-2004, president from 2007-2008. So he came back a bit of a John Farnham, if you like. This will be the last time. I believe he was awarded life membership in 2001. He was in the team of the decade, 1999-2009. At least a 9-time premiership player, 4 of which as captain.
Wow.
A 2-time cricketer of the year, a club SMCA delegate and SMCA publicity officer. The club has struck an award, probably the highest award we can offer at the club, named the Jeff Martin Medal, the Players' Player, which is awarded each year. So if that is not enough for you, let me get stats dog.
Oh.
The man is the game's record holder for the club. He's played 451 games. He is the highest run scorer in the history of the club, 11,499 runs at an average of 38.08, which we will call 40. He's got 13 hundreds and 51 50s. A high score of 150. He's the...
Oh.
Scandal. We'll have to go back and check that one. He's the highest wicket taker in the history of the club. 574 wickets and an average of 13.74. 22 fifers. A best bowling of 8 for 36. He's taken the most catches as a non-wicket keeper for the club. 226 catches. He's taken 12 catches as a keeper.
Wow.
6th most stumpings for the club with 15. And the 2nd most unassisted runouts of the club with 15. So as I take a breath, it's without further ado that I give a warm welcome to Jeff Slopper Martin. Welcome.
Thank you, Maddie, and thank you, Kempy.
Yeah, very good to have you, Jeff. Obviously, a lot of stats there. Did they sound pretty correct? Obviously, my cricket hasn't
Never
been around
been
for
a
ages.
Stats man, really. No. The only thing I'd say is that when I was started, it was the South Metropolitan Cricket Association, and the books that they were kept by the register got lost.
Oh no!
So some of those stats in the 70s and 80s could be incorrect. If anything, there'd be more.
Do you think you maybe have played more than 451 games?
I would say so. Wow. But then again, in those days, we also played 4-day finals.
Oh my god! Yeah.
So, you know, 4 days is one game.
Yeah. So that's 2 weekends.
Yeah.
Yeah, weekends, Saturday, Sunday.
Well, we've often said, we often sort of caveat everything with, you know, according to my cricket, these are the best that we have. It's not perfect, but if we use it as a measuring stick for everyone, then it's even in that way, I suppose.
Yep. I agree with that too.
Yeah.
From a club perspective, I don't think there's too much going on before we get back to Jeff. Obviously, the season's not far away. Yeah. October 7th it kicks off.
We were talking about first Saturday of August.
Yeah, for the pre-season. We'll confirm that in the coming days. But, it'll be very early August. Yeah. So looking forward to that.
Hopefully the weather allows us to be outdoors, but if not, we'll
find somewhere indoors.
Indoors.
Maybe your house.
A bit of a backyard there.
Yeah.
Yeah, why not?
No roof, though.
Mm.
Also, thank you to our sponsors, Keegan & Co. and Rorty Plumbing, of course, and the Atfield Tavern.
And the Atfield Tavern, yeah.
Big supporters. We'll be there on Wednesday for another meeting at the Atfield Tavern.
Happy days.
Always been big supporters of us, haven't they?
Yeah, they're very true. Three finer businesses in the wider Perth metro region I reckon you'd struggle to find. But prove me wrong, come on and sponsor us.
So if you're having any family problems, look, go to Keegan and Co.
It's funny you say that. I wonder if in family law, if that would also cover wills and things of that nature.
I'd assume so.
I need to sort one out. Yeah.
Oh. Yeah. Well, give them a call.
I mean,
I don't have their number on me, but
No, it's all right. I'll get in touch with them. Yeah. I'll leave my gloves for you, Matthew.
Okay.
In the unfortunate event of my passing.
Thanks. Is there any talent in those gloves?
If there is, I haven't found it.
Okay. The bat's hardly used.
Probably middle's good.
Yeah. Be more used than my bat.
Yeah.
Let's talk a bit more about Jeff, because obviously there's a lot to unpack, isn't there, soon?
Gee whiz. Because as I was telling you, Jeff, I was having a little bit of a look into your history today. A couple of things, you know, in doing research on you, found a little bit of conflicting information. So I was hoping you might be able to clear up. I was going through the 1999 yearbook, Kenwick write-up. At the time, you were the president, and you said that you started in the 1969-1970 season in C grade.
Wowee.
However, I then went through a later yearbook, I think it was around the 2001, and it listed, to that point in time, every player who'd ever played for Kenwick, who'd ever been in a scorebook, and listed the year with which they started at the club. And you were listed as playing in 1972 as your first season.
That was probably seniors.
Interesting. Oh, okay. Yeah.
So 69, I was 13, straight out of primary school. And Kenwick was probably the closest club. So Ray Lawrence, myself, and a few others. And in those days, C grade was the juniors. There was only one juniors, C grade. It was under 16s. So you're 13. And you played under 16s, 13, 14, 15. So you had 3 years playing junior cricket. But, of course, you got better as your age got older. But there was only one junior.
Yeah.
So, yeah, 69 was definitely when I first started playing C-grade juniors.
I see.
Yeah,
okay,
not C-grade seniors.
That's the differentiation then. Well, in that sense then, given that, you know, you're 13 years old and it's, you know, it's 1969-70, Is Kenwick being the closest club? Is that how you got there, or how did you get
definitely
there?
Definitely the closest. I would have had to ride my bike. I mean, there was no cars, obviously. Rode my bike to Kenwick and rode it home from training. Yeah.
And nice. Even though you were,
I suppose Mannington would have been slightly closer, but yeah, I think more people I knew were going to Kenwick. So.
Okay. Yeah, it made sense, but. Even being a young fella, you still managed to, your love for the game, you stuck it out, even though, I imagine as a 13-year-old playing against 16-year-olds is not going to be a lot of fun.
No, we had enough talent in that, you know, Ray Lawrence, very talented cricketer, didn't last in cricket, but he was talented. Stewie Elliott, a few other primary school kids, you know, there was enough there that you didn't feel as though you were getting smoked every, you know. I remember Gary Hartman, who was 2 years older than me, said that he played C grade cricket and they got bowled out for five, one of their junior teams.
Yeah.
And he top scored with one or two or something, you know, so never that, all right? I think as a senior, I think we've been bowled out for 20, maybe early 20s a couple of times. That was the worst that I've ever done in that team. I think I top scored with five, so yeah.
Five
the best. No, cricket was just, in those days, there was nothing else. I mean, I was... I was I had no brothers. I had two older sisters, so cricket wasn't for them. Cricket was just my life. There was no basketball, there was no video games, there was no nothing else. So it was cricket season, and the talented ones went to football. I was a lazy footballer. I played okay, but if you didn't go to training those days, you didn't get picked. Unless the coach decided that he didn't have enough players, then he'd ring me up and say, come down and play. So I was just a reserve, and yeah, that was, you know, cricket season was the season. That was all I lived for.
Mm.
You know, I practiced for myself. You know, the old string with on the sock on the clothesline, hours of
back
hitting
forth.
That ball, get the tennis ball into, I had steps in our front yard, and I'd throw the cricket on my knees, throw the ball into the steps and catch. That's all I did for hours and hours.
Maybe that's why you have good stats, because when we were growing up, we just played video games and did not train. Mm. Yeah, maybe that's why.
Look, he maybe practiced a bit more than we did.
Probably did. But then again, you probably got a lot more of life than, you know, we didn't have video games and we didn't have that. So I had to make your own fun. I did other things. I wandered around and stole watermelons from, you know, people's places and all that sort of thing.
That sounds like very Murray Williams-esque activity.
Don't let me swear on.
Does nine premierships sound about right, or do you reckon it might have been more as well?
Yeah, how close did we get there?
I've got no idea. Absolutely no idea. I remember the Tide one against East Fremantle. That was, you know.
Did you both get awarded it there?
We both got awarded that, yeah. They didn't split it. I certainly remember a couple others, but yeah, nine, I'd be probably. Yeah, we had a spell there where we did pretty well for 4 or 5 years. So we probably picked up two or three. And when you say premierships, one day as well as 2 day.
Yeah, I believe so. Yeah.
Yeah, so, yeah, nine would be pretty close, I would think.
Interesting to note the SNCA's talking about maybe bringing in super overs for Tide finals.
I personally would rather have a winner and a loser.
Yeah.
I don't think anyone won that Tide game. No one celebrated it. No one really cares. No. It's just a nothing stat now. So
we'll call it 8 premierships then.
Yeah, let's just say that it... we can improve if, you know, yeah, have super over, yeah, something like that.
Do you remember your first premiership and your last premiership?
No
clue.
The earliest I remember, as you say, the hundreds. I mean, I didn't score 100 until well into, I would have thought, into my 50s or 40s.
Really?
Yeah, I was never a long term batsman. I hit it batsman, you know. And early in my career, you know, when I was 18 and 17, I was opening for the A grade for Kenwick. I was an opener, so I would go out there and I'd smoke 40 or 50 runs, and that would be it. If I didn't get 30 or 40 runs, I'd get dropped, and then I'd get 30 or 40 runs in the seconds, and I'd go to the first grade. And if I didn't get 30 or 40 runs, I'd get dropped. So in those days, you know, 30, 40 was a good score for me. That was all I sort of was...
Job done.
Yeah, job done. Yeah, get out of there and put your feet up, and then I'd have the Nicholases and the McKennas and all that going in. Yes. So it didn't really... Yeah, didn't have to worry about...
Yeah, famous, synonymous names with the Kenwick Club. I was also reading in that 99 sort of team or club review, you said when you were looking at it and the team had, you know, we at the club had 9 junior teams and 6 senior teams. I can't even, in today's language, like, that's...
It's just phenomenal, wasn't
unfathomable.
It? Mm. It was absolutely a nightmare to administer.
And what sort of times, like, is it around that 99 that we had that sort of a deal going on, or what sort of time frame were
looking?
Yeah, it
was when we took over the juniors. We took over the juniors from a group of people that... There was a Kenwick Junior Cricket Club and a Kenwick Senior Cricket Club, and I said, why are there two clubs? I mean, we both play for Kenwick, we both play cricket. Surely we should all join up. And so, yeah, it was probably around 99, but I don't know. It was hectic times. I mean, I remember at one stage I would coach Saturday morning, play Saturday afternoon, coach Sunday morning, get home Sunday afternoon, then go to work Monday, and that was life for 6 months.
How have you remained married? What's Sue doing to put up with this?
I can't say what I really want to say. let's just say that she's very patient.
Yeah, tolerant.
Tolerant, patient. Yeah. Yes, that's the words. That's the words.
Although to
she may listen to this later, won't she?
Oh, mate, well,
yeah, okay.
To be the mother of Alistair, I imagine you need to be quite a tolerant and patient individual.
I think Alistair was probably the best of the three, but yeah, so yeah, that's a sad indictment.
When did the juniors eventually stop? Because obviously there was a patch there where we didn't have juniors, and that sort of come back through sheep probably, what, 6, 7, 8 years ago now?
Yeah, I would have said late 2000s, maybe, 2008.
I reckon.
Just juniors disappeared? Or?
Yeah, they just all moved into seniors. Some like Kempy and Kingy and those guys, they played Sean Wilson, they played seniors. They went from juniors to seniors and not replaced.
Yeah, okay.
I have vague memories. When I moved up to Jarrow in about 2002, I think they stopped not long thereafter, and I think that also coincided with us breaking away from the sports club around that sort of a time frame. Is that sort of some things went down with the sports club, so we disassociated ourselves from that.
And the sports club went broke basically.
Mm.
There was some bad administration. There may have been some illegalities happening. And what happened was the first line of the Constitution said the Kenwick Sports Club is made up of the Kenwick Cricket Club, the Kenwick Football Club, the Kenwick Cricket Club, the Kenwick Tennis Club. And then when it went under, administered, because it was in the Constitution that we were the sports club, they took all the money, took everything. So we started from scratch.
Oh, dear.
We did get some notice that this was going to happen, and we may put some money aside to other things just before that happened. But basically, we started from scratch.
Well, that's very sensible.
Yeah.
Because, technically, we're not the Kenwick Cricket Club. We're the Royals.
Yes.
Yeah.
In brackets,
we had
club.
To do that, to separate from that.
It's quite
constitutional issue.
Smart administration.
Would
you have had a play in that?
I had some dealing in
very
that.
Very sensible. Yes. Very sensible.
Is statute of limitations finished by then?
Yeah, for sure.
You go on.
No, I was going to say, so given that smart administration and you starting at the club seniors in 72, when did you jump on the committee? When did you first get on the committee?
Probably early. See, my senior career went 72 lower grades, got up to 79, and I played A grade and all that, and 79-80 or was 78-79, we played Kelmscott in a 4-day grand final at Gosnells Oval, neutral ground, 4-day final. They finished on top, we finished second. They could bat as long as they liked, we had to beat them. So they batted, Ray Witt batted for about two and a half days.
Jesus.
And we were never in the contest, so we had 4 days of just stinking hot weather.
Attrition.
Just getting done, it was downright depressing. And then so 79 came around, and I still don't remember what happened, but I had an argument, I had a disagreement, I had some sort of falling out with a prominent person in the Kenwick Cricket Club. And I said, stuff you, and I went and played baseball.
Ah.
So I played baseball 80, 81, 82, might have even been 83, 84, and then I went country. So I went country 85. Came back in 91.
It's because I'm pretty. Al would have been born 89, and it was around Katanning, was away,
yes,
wasn't
it? Yes, I was in Nanup. Well, we were in Nanup, and there was no hospital in Nanup, so they went to Bridgetown to get born.
Okay.
The other two were born in Katanning.
Yeah, okay.
And in Katanning, I think I played 4 years in Katanning. We won 4 A grade premierships, so I was captain of one of them, and so my stats could even be better. And they were the years where I was actually pretty good. In those years, and we played against Tuck Waldron, Andy McFarlane, some really top Wazza Country 11 cricketers who got called up to Perth, and they played against the West Indies and all these teams.
Mm-hmm.
They were good cricketers, and every town in that area had a good cricketer. It wasn't deep, but they had one or two good cricketers, really one good fast bowler, one good cricketer. Normie Herbert from Tambla, great cricketer. We won 4. I think we won 7 premierships straight. The Wanderers, Katanning Wanderers Cricket Club.
That's a tough line.
I was a member of Forum, and Wayne Hams was one of my captains. He came up 1 year I was there. I took over captaincy. Wayne came up to play Bayswater Morley. So he'd work down there Monday to Friday. come up on Saturday for cricket, come back Sunday, and yeah,
it was busy life.
He was a good cricketer too, and his two boys played for South Fremantle,
Ashton
and Kyle.
Yeah, that's it. Yep.
I mean, they were like that tall, and now they're gone over the hill from playing football.
So you finish your country stint.
Yep.
In early 90s.
91, come back.
Yeah. So
I think I rocked up that year. What? 91, 92.
What brought you back to the area, back to Kenwick?
Well, I still had my house in Kenwick, so yeah, straight back to Kenwick. And I probably on the committee the year after that, so probably 92, 93.
93, I think you started as the secretary.
Yeah.
So enough water had passed under the bridge and you thought, yeah.
Yeah, I honestly, I don't even know what it was over or who I was arguing with now. But yeah, that's just what you did. Hmm. Yeah, come back and play cricket.
And it seems pretty well straight away you jump back on the committee.
Yeah, yeah. Always been a sort of doer.
Fair enough. Will we see you back to play some more cricket this year? I assume we're going to second grade, and I know that you want to probably dabble in that.
You know what? I might even come down and see how I go at training, because your eyesight sort of gets a bit tentative when you get to 66. So
how's the shoulder?
Yeah, well, I don't know whether I could run anyone out from first slip anymore. That's probably a little far. Perhaps, a bit closer might be better.
We do have a couple of games we like to play on the podcast, Jeff. I don't know if you listened to many of the Kenwick podcasters yet.
I had to listen to Alice's, apparently, because my wife put it. Susan put it on, and I had to listen to the greatest all rounder the Kenwick Cricket Club's ever produced. I had to listen to that. Yes.
So there is a game we like to play. It's called the Name Game.
Okay.
So we've gone back and selected one of your games from the past, and we're just going to see how many of that 11 you can name.
Okay.
I've sent it to Stephen as well. So we've gone back to 2014-15, which probably would have been, one of your later years.
It wasn't that long ago, anyhow.
Yeah, so we don't want to,
in the scheme of things,
make you think too far
and
back.
What grade?
It was One Day D's. It was a semi-final win over Armidale. So you guys defeated them. Armidale made 111 in response to you guys 134.
Tight game.
Yeah, so you guys got the win there.
And that was a 40 over game?
It was. Do you remember who might have played with you in that 11?
Well, I would have thought it would have been the Dave Blackburn, Pete Titty, James August, Dave Wadman era.
You've got two of four are there. James August and Blackburn were there.
Okay.
There are a couple of the older vintage that you haven't named, but think along.
Oh, not Gunny, surely.
The honourable member from Beckenham.
He is in there.
He was there.
Yeah, Gunny.
I can tell you he wasn't there next week, but
I remember that.
Oh, he didn't make the final.
No, he wasn't. He
got
selected.
Dropped.
He
wasn't
selected. That was that year.
He had a young captain. Young at the time, young captain.
Youngish captain. Okay. I got no idea who that was. Scotty Hartman?
No, didn't feature.
Okay. Come on, name me some names.
Well, there's at least.
Not the Whelans.
No.
No Whelans? No Saxons? No, that would have been after their time.
Think along a similar vintage to Murray.
That could be anywhere.
Gavin Shaw?
No.
Oh, that's a good. You're in a ballpark, though.
Yeah, Gavin Shaw. And it wasn't Dave Wadman, so it wouldn't have been Matty Wadman, wouldn't have been in there then.
No, that would have been a year or two earlier that you did that.
Okay. No, hit me with some names.
You opened the batting.
Oh, did I?
With Dan Jackson.
Oh, Daniel Jackson, one of my favourite umpires. I still remember when you gave me out, Jacko. Tied the game, thanks, mate.
Tom August was at 3.
Oh, Tommy, yes, okay.
John O'Day was at 4. Don Jagadoge. Donnie.
Don is good.
He's good.
He's very good. Yeah, enjoyed playing with Don.
Your captain, Colin Smith.
Big Col.
Yep.
Nick Jackson. Oh, yes.
Young kid. Young kid. You might have known him as Lego Head.
Yeah.
And Stephen Brace.
Bracey. Yes.
Yeah,
and so we won that game, did we?
You did, to go into the grand final.
What score did I make?
You made it a nice three.
Three of the best.
Okay. Did I bowl?
Yeah, you took three far.
Okay. Well, see, you can't do everything all the time, no, can you? No. That's the thing about being, you know, of the same calibre as Greeny and Mitch Marsh. You know, you just do one or the other. You don't have to do both.
It's hard having all the talent, isn't it?
Yes.
Speaking of Greeny and Mitch Marsh, have you been watching the Ashes, Jeff? Are you keeping an eye on
them? I try to watch them. I get so frustrated because they don't play, I think, the way they should play. They're not. I mean, watching that bouncer on the other day was just the most boring, shocking, terrible acumen to Test cricket that you'd never. Anyone watching that the first time would say, "I'm never watching Test cricket ever again."
And
it was just so frustrating. Try to get the guy out, for goodness sake. Bowl the stumps. I mean, when Mitch starts, when he's getting close to the end, I say, just bowl a Yorker on the stumps. I mean, how hard is it? Right? They got 15 bowling coaches, and they're still not in a bowl.
When you see Ben Stokes in the mood that he was,
yes,
it's pretty hard to think, like, okay, how do I actually get this bloke out?
Oh, well,
so
I can tell you, bouncers aren't going to do it.
I've seen, not Ben Stokes. I've seen a guy, say, from Serpentine Gerardale that was smoking us all over the place at Kenwick, and everyone going, well, you just can't get this guy out. I said, of course you can get him out. Mm. Bowl 2 foot outside the off stump because he likes swinging over the leg side, and he'll put it in the air. Slow the ball down. Do something, you know. He'll get into a rhythm and do it all the time. You've got to break that concentration, break that up. But
well, we
didn't think Test cricketers would know that, wouldn't you?
Well, we didn't have Nathan Lyon, so that hurt.
The way he was going, but... yeah,
might not have mattered.
It might not have mattered, but you've got to throw it outside off stump. You've got to throw it up and wide and make him hoik it across the line. Well, and if he hits one over cover for six, you just say, good shot, try to do it again.
Yeah. When you see nine blokes on the field and bowling bumpers, like you say, you're very clear. You go, well, we don't actually know how we're going to get this bloke out.
Yeah, we're relying on luck.
Yeah.
You're not trying to get him out. You're just trying to get him to make the mistake.
Which is why when he did actually sky, like top edge that one off Hazelwood, I think you and I were messaging each other, and it was just like, well, we shanked one there. Like
and they'll go, oh, it worked.
Yeah. It's like we've not learnt anything from 2019 when he bossed us everywhere. So.
And they didn't do anything different last night. They went back to the bouncers.
See, they got this preconceived idea. It's almost like turning to baseball, stats in baseball. It ruins baseball now. You can no longer have a feel for the game. You've got this guy that's telling you that this guy hits the ball 97% of the time through shortstop, so the shortstop's got to be 3.5 feet to the right of second bag. And you go, well, yeah, what about the shortstop actually getting the feel, you know, looking at the guy and seeing what he's doing? But no, the stats tell him where to field. So he's got a map as to where he fields for all these different players.
Better. Moneyball.
It's moneyball. What cricket's turning into. So the stats are showing that Brooks is subject to a short ball on here. So then what should we do? Well, I think we should bowl every ball short of there, just in case we might get him out, why the stats say. Well,
he'll make a mistake at some point.
Yeah, so well, for goodness sake, what's wrong with the outside edge every now and again? You know, got to... Anyhow.
Well, I mean...
Too old to change him.
True. I mean, but I guess that's why at Kenwell we haven't been doing that well lately, because we've got Murray ball. As opposed to Moneyball.
Moneyball.
Oh, do you reckon?
Yeah.
Do you reckon we'll win the Ashes from here? 2-1 down? Or 2-1 up, sorry?
Yeah, I think so.
I think our number 3 and 4 batsmen have to do better than what they are. Because you can't have an opener that can't score runs, a number 3 and a number 4, who are world-class batsmen, don't get me wrong, but you can't have 5 tests where they don't score runs and you win the Ashes. I mean, at some stage, yeah, number 3 and 4 have to score runs.
Do you think Warner's getting dropped for the fourth test?
I would like to. I think he would. I mean, if he was a West Australian, he would have been dropped 3 tests ago. But, why not? Bancroft. Is Bancroft over there?
No, he did a couple of games at the start.
He's a way better technically opener. And, again, I'm not the world's best coach, and I accept that. But if you look at Warner batting, I know why Broad goes around the wicket, because Warner bat goes back to gully. He's a left-hander. He goes back to gully. And Broad's bowling around the wicket. He's trying to... The ball's coming in at an angle, and his bat's coming at an angle.
Bat path, yeah.
He's done well to hit the ball with the edge.
Mm.
because he's not bringing it back there and going through the ball. He's coming to gully, and the ball's coming this way. It's like lucky that the ball even hits the bat.
Wow.
And how 15 coaches in the Australian squad can't see that is just beyond me. Either he can't change his habit, and of course he's getting older now. He had an eye like a dead fish, and now the eye...
Probably.
First thing that goes in the cricketer is your eyes, and your perception doesn't get as good, doesn't get as clear, and he's trying to hit a ball that's going sideways to his bat. Good luck.
Brawl's got him out 17 times.
Yeah.
Now.
Yeah, it's like 3 wickets off being the most ever.
Dismissals.
Yeah, someone dismissing someone.
And to some way, that's another stat. I mean, obviously, he's an opening bowler and he's an opening batsman. That's probably going to happen more times than you know, number 11.
Yeah.
So,
but yeah, 17, it's a bit.
And why does he go around the wicket straight away? Because that angle. See, when he goes over the wicket broad and his ball's coming this way and Warner's bat's going back towards gully, it's somewhat in line where his bat is.
Closer alignment, yeah.
Yeah, but coming from there to there is nowhere near the line.
Interesting.
But why hasn't someone picked that up and told Warner? Or can't he change his way?
I wonder if he's the sort of guy who, this is my game, that's how I play.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, unless it's like something he's figured out himself, that it's a technical change he needs to make, he's not really seeking outside.
But Bancroft is a far technically better batsman. He's got more technique. And the only reason why he's not playing for Australia now is because Warner talked him into sandpapering a ball in South Africa. And now he's can't get a game.
I got a feeling like we're going to see him pretty soon.
I would hope so. I think he's done his time.
You'd think so, but they seem to want to go back to Marcus Harris again. He's in the squad there to go.
He didn't do himself any favours. Like I think it was Somerset maybe. He played 4 games and he didn't do much there. Mm.
They've even got Renshaw in as reserve. So.
But I mean, what is it also frustrating is that Warner says he wants to go out in Sydney and whatever. Well, who the hell are you to say when you can retire? Surely it's the people picking the team that tell you when you go. You don't tell me when you're going to retire.
If you really want to go out to Sydney, you probably should have retired last summer.
Yeah.
Well.
Different generations. Yeah.
Anyway, we'll get back onto a bit of Kenwick stuff because we've got a few questions that have been submitted for you, Jeff, and I'm sure we have a few more of our own.
I hope they're not from the Frio Mercantile people.
No, we didn't. Okay. I don't think we were. Well,
I did send out a letter, but nothing back. Do you want to kick us off, Stephen?
Oh, no, you please.
I'll kick us off?
Please.
Okay. Connor Breed, who I don't know if you played maybe one or two games.
One or two games with Connor.
Connor says, I don't think I played much cricket with you, but I know how nicknames describe the essence of a man, like Jake Lockyer being called Flog. What nicknames were you given in your playing years and why?
Jan Henlupin, which was Gary Henlupin's brother in those days, I was probably a tad clumsy, probably a tad overweight, and he called me Slopsy, and that probably pretty much stuck. From junior, I was probably under 14 or 15 playing seniors. Yeah, so I got called Slopsy back in those days. And then it just, with the new gen era, it got slopper.com and, it got stretched out to different names. I remember one of the umpires, they were always pretty friendly, always called you by your nickname. And one of them used to call me Mopsy because I don't think he picked up on the nickname correctly, but he used to call him Mops. But it was good fun. Yeah.
Can you imagine today, like, let's just Chook, for instance. Say Chook's a 14 or a 15-year-old, and he's rolling around, he's, one of his first games of one-day A's, and Spuds just goes, based on your physical appearance and attributes, I'm going to call you Sloppy. Mm. Yeah. And his nickname was just Slop. Like a young kid, like you would have been 15 or whatever. Yeah. Like, a 15-year-old's not coming back from that today. I'm not coming back for that.
Maybe you're soft.
Was I being bullied back then?
I assume so.
Oh, my God. I'm suing.
Sue the club.
Here
you go.
So the captain for our second grade side this year is Shahan Mendes. He writes in. He wants to know if you got any advice you can give about playing in second grade for the first time and any tips on being a good captain.
captain is a learnt job. I mean, you can't be a good captain first year. It's just, you've just got to learn your players. You've got to learn who you can poke and who you can't poke, who you've got to put your arm around and say, you know, bad luck next time. Other people you say, you know, you're an idiot and, you know, get that shot out of it. So that's the captain's role, is to learn how to be a captain. And don't treat everyone the same. Everyone's different. You know, some people you've got to give a little bit, some people you've got to, you know, be a bit firmer with. So, yeah, tough job, captain. It's a bit like being an umpire in football. You're going to be right half the time, you're going to be wrong half the time. Some people are going to agree with you, some people are going to disagree. But I would say this, make sure, and we talk about the spirit of the game, try to keep your players within the spirit of the game. So you can't control what the other team do, and that's, you know, that's up to them. But as I've told my kids, and as I'll tell anyone, you are your reputation. In the end, all you are is your reputation. So if you get a reputation of being a spoiled captain who, you know, spits the dummy and doesn't agree with everything, that will stay with you. If you get that reputation that you're hard and fast and play by the rules, but shake hands and have a drink at the end of the day, that's the sort of reputation you want to get. So as a captain, do that.
Yeah, completely agree. What about advice for first time the club's had a second grade since 2001,
yeah.
I think, Matthew? 2001,
yeah,
2002?
Something like that, yeah.
That's fantastic.
At least two decades. So any advice on...
Look, you're going to get... Obviously, you're going to get teams where that's the best 11 players in their team, like us. We're the best 11. You'll probably get other clubs where they've got an A grade as well as a second grade.
Not anymore.
So it's split up. So it's 1 and 3 and 2 and 4.
Yeah, something
so
like that.
So it's going to be the best 11. Yeah, you're just going to have to fight it out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Make your wicket, you know. Make them earn your wicket. Don't give it away. Hang in there.
Tomo asks, who do you think is the best player you've ever played with?
Wow, Tomo. I'd like to say Tomo. I like Tomo.
Yeah.
But it wasn't Tomo. I reckon probably George Pommersbeck was probably as good as any. I mean, Lukey was too young to really assess how... I mean, Lukey had some talent, there's no doubt about that, but he was too young. I didn't really play a lot with him. Matty Wayburn was talented too. You know, but he was young. Yeah, George was as good as they got. Yeah, good player. Pity he didn't play for Kenwick all the time. But sure. When you go back to, say, A-grade days, and now I'm going back to the 70s, Broadbent was probably the best player that in those teams in those days, Alan Broadbent. Fantastic cricketer. Not as friendly as other people, but yeah, fantastic cricketer. Stainsy, wicket keeper, one of the best keepers I've seen. Yeah, fantastic hands. But yeah, that's a tough question.
A lot of cricketers out there.
A lot of cricketers out there that are very good, better than me.
Tomo continues. He wants you
to go to bed.
Well, he might be. He might be asleep. Who knows? He wants you to compare errors. Of the grades from the 90s to now. And Tomo says, I think today's first graders would be lucky to play third graders in the mid-90s. What do you think?
So you're saying the talent pool isn't as strong. Yeah, I mean, when I was playing A-grade in the 70s, I mean, there were some fast, fast bowlers. I don't see any of them these days, not even A-grade. I mean, they were quick. And batters, yeah, they bat down to 6 and 7. Nowadays, once you get down to 6 or 7, you know, there's only 4 batsmen and the rest are just making up the numbers. So I would tend to agree that I don't think... I think other sports have a pull towards players and therefore, yeah, the talent base is probably weakened because people are playing basketball and they're playing hockey and they're playing lots of other sports, soccer. And they're not playing cricket. So when you got people that are talented at a sport, they're usually pretty good at any sport. You know, if you got hand-eye-ball coordination skills, then you can play most sports. So a lot of people, you know, if they don't like cricket, it's stinking hot. You're out there for 4 hours and 5 hours. Well, yeah, they'll go and play something else. Yeah. And they'll play it well. They'll play cricket well. Or they'll play golf.
I really dislike those people.
Yeah, I know.
I've never been one myself. Yeah, I really dislike those people.
Yeah. Spud wants to know, given the fact your son is such a good bowler but never wants to bowl, is it reassuring that you'll always be able to say you're a better bowler than him?
Well, he's soft. There's no doubt about that. I mean, he takes after his mother. He's soft. He's got no heart. He reckons he's done his shoulder in for some reason, so he can't bowl. But he's a very wayward bowler. He needs to really toughen up. I'd tell him take a couple of cement and swallow it. Toughen up. Harden up. Yeah, no, he'll never pass me.
That he used to.
I actually wonder how many wickets Al's taken. I want to have a look at that. I'm gonna look that up and I'll let you know.
Yeah, they'll be lower grades. They won't be
high grades. I'll go to the next question. Yeah, well, this one hasn't put his name. He might be able to work out who it is. Who knows? Yeah. He says, this is a question from a former KCC A-grade batting and double wicket champion. Is it true that Jeff was the original KCC Araldite even before Aaron Allardyce Walker made it his own, and that in 40 years of bowling he was still able to bowl a genuine unable to bowl a genuine outswinger?
Oh, that's harsh. I don't know who that would be.
I can tell you. I don't know exactly who that is.
That's a very hard. No, I always bowled the away swinger. It might have started at 74 kilometres and now it's gone down to about 6.4 kilometres. It would always go away because my arm was so round. It had to go away. It's not like Kempy. It came over the top and that had to be in swing. Even when I tried to bowl in swinger, it just wouldn't go away. It wouldn't go in, but it just wouldn't go away. No, that's all lies. That person doesn't know what he's talking about.
That was Paul Del Borello.
I was going to Dole Pel Borello.
Let's talk about Paul Del Borello. That man was the slowest when he got out of leaving the ground in the history of cricket in Kenwick, Australia, the universe.
Yeah.
If they played cricket on Saturn, he would still be the slowest person to leave the ground. And as he got off the ground, three people have got out and have passed him after he's got out. And 4.5 hours later, he still had his pads on. Okay? He was distraught. That man, unbelievable.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah.
In terms of all-time wicket takers for the club, Alistair James Martin, 321 games, 271 wickets, sitting in sixth.
271, and what have I got? 450.
You got 574.
So he has to double his wickets, and so he's got to play at least double those games, and he doesn't bowl. Oh, he's got no chance.
He's in for a rough... Well, given his whimsical approach to cricket of late...
Yeah, he's got no chance.
Might be hard.
Who's the second who's playing, still playing?
Still playing?
Yeah.
I guess Tomo's in fifth, and he's the only one that's still...
Well, I can't count Tomo. Tomo's got a Zimmer frame as well, so...
he's coming up to Augie. So Tomo's 422, mm-hmm. Augie's 438.
Oh, Augie will never play again.
Well, it's funny you say that. Yeah. When we talked to... Well, you spoke to Augie last week. Mm. I sort of asked if he was a bit keen on playing, because Augie on 438 is 20 wickets behind Murray Williams.
Oh.
And that ignited something.
That is something tempting.
He thought that might be a reason.
Yeah, okay. Well, if Augie plays, there's a possibility.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
Glenn Moore in third on 441. Yeah, well, but given won't play again. Well, he's not playing for us, so his wickets don't count anymore.
So
there's a bit of wheel room going on there.
There's no heir apparent, is there?
No, I wouldn't have thought
Kippy,
so.
Dream on,
Stephen. I've heard this the last 4 years. I'm never bowling again.
Again. You've picked up the Alistair line, have you?
Yes. Yeah. See, Alistair, as whimsical as he might be, he's a far wiser man than I am. He shot his run up way down years ago. I'm still, my run up's double his, and I need to figure.
But
out
Al can still bowl very sharp off that short run up if he wants to.
I never did.
Well, those shoulders. I mean, he's got his mother's shoulders too, though. But he's skinny. He doesn't do any weight exercise. I don't know how he can do it.
Yeah, wine glasses don't weigh that much, do they?
That's true.
You had another question there, Stephen?
Oh, yeah. I got a couple from young Sean Ingram, young Chook. who was your bunny in the Nets?
I always used to have to bowl to the better cricketers. Yeah, we had. I mean, not probably towards the end of my career, but most of my career, you got told where to bowl. So it wasn't a case of you just bowled in that net. There was a guy there saying, you bowl to this guy, you bowl to this guy. So I usually had to bowl to the better players. And if I got one or two out, they got pretty shitty. I mean, there was no one liked getting out in the nets in those days. They, it was on. And then they'd try to smack you all over the place. So no one that stands to mind. Murray Williams, if I was bowling Murray, it would definitely be Murray.
I tell you what, I reckon if he was fishing for an answer.
Tomo wants to know, where do you potentially see the Kenwick Cricket Club in 5 years? Do you worry about our future, and do you think that it might end up in us merging with another club?
No. If you'd asked me this question 5 years ago, I would have been very worried. But I think the club is on the right track. I think it's gone over that hill, and there's something on the other side. I'm not that worried now. I suppose it could always happen. Look, it'd be disappointing, but the current administrators, the current people that are running the club, they've got to do the best things for the club. And at the moment, I think they're doing it right, and they're doing it for the club, and the club is going ahead quite nicely. So I wouldn't be worried at this stage.
Pretty fair assessment. I reckon about 5 years ago is when the conversation started being had internally about how are we going to keep this ship rolling. We're going to have to talk about. Well, because, I mean, you might have seen, you know, Hilton Palmyra and Bicton Adderdale 3 years ago merged, second grade clubs. And, well, they won a first grade one day premiership last year and played the semi final of the 2 day. So yeah, 2 second grade clubs coming together, combining, pulling their everything together. It's been profitable for them. I'd say they'd be very happy. I agree.
But they are pretty close together, aren't they? I mean, they are only a road away from each other.
Ish. Yeah.
So I mean, if we combine with Armidale, it's never going to happen.
Yeah,
so it's only Thornley, Maddington or Cannington that you could really consider. And yeah, I couldn't see that happening in a fit.
I remember it was a conversation you and I had just off the cuff a little while ago. I think there's something like 10 clubs within 10 kilometres of us, or 12 kilometres of us. So given that we're not a growing area and we're an older area, to get back to those, you know, 9 juniors, 6 senior teams, to get back to that.
I don't think that will ever happen, but yeah.
Yeah, that's so. Yeah, what do you want from the club? That's, I suppose, if you want that, then you're merging.
If you've got enough seniors that have got enough kids and that coming through, like Tomo's kids coming through, and these that helps. But then again, you need the pathway for them to.
Mm.
And also, you want to have good cricketers that want to be club cricketers, but you don't want gun cricketers because they'll just go somewhere else. So that was one of the problems. We had a lot of good cricketers come through, but they decided that
higher aspirations.
Yeah, Gosnells was the club to go to because they had turf, and and you don't blame the parents for wanting their kids to try their best, but it doesn't help when you put all this time and effort into these juniors and they go, oh well, we're going to play for Gosnells now. And you go, oh great.
Yeah, it's hard, isn't it? I suppose that's a bit of. On carpet cricket, it's part of your job.
Need that middle ground player.
Yeah. You need that middle ground player. Yeah. You need the club man that's going to be around for a while and just a steady.
Yeah, I agree. I hope that we don't have to merge, but yeah, I'd rather see us merge than fold.
Yes, no, I think that's sensible.
Another one from you there, Stephen.
Yeah, Chuck, his final question. He wants to know what your favourite off-field memory at the club is, at the cricket club.
Now, bearing in mind that when I first started, I was very young. So, I mean, I was around, 13, 14. I remember it would have only been 14, maybe 15. We'd have our wind-up. Okay, and at the wind-up, it was a pretty prestigious event. You know, you were lined up in tables, you were sitting in groups, and some of the guys would bring an escort girl. You know, some of the single guys would bring an escort girl to the and you know damn well it wasn't his wife or his partner. He just brought this girl. And we'd, you know, 14 or 15, we'd have a few drinks. And I remember getting terribly drunk and a lot of wind-ups. And, yeah, it was terrible, terrible, terrible. And at the end of each training on a Thursday night, as I got a bit older, they'd finish training, finish picking the sides, announcing sides, and then you go back to the sports club and there'd be cards played for reasonable amounts of money. In those days, you know, $20 bills were floating around the card table. So, yeah, so I learned a bit about gambling. I learned a bit about drinking. I learned a little about escort girls. So really the club educated me quite nicely in some of the areas of life. So that's something to aspire to as president, vice president. Bring that back to the club. And I mean, when in those days, I mean, the Nicholases, we had John Nicholas, Graham and Barry, those the Nicholases. John Nicholas's kids were Warren and Janelle, and they were only tiny this age. And I end up playing with Warren, and Warren's kids are Josh, and Josh plays state cricket. He now is a greens keeper over at Harfield Country, plays off a 2-3 handicap cricket at golf. See him all the time. And I remember he was under nines when, you know, he played outside when Warren played one of our, I do remember that win over at Weber Reserve. One day game against, I think it was East Fremantle. Yeah, and Warren got us over the line. It was a good win.
I don't think there's a pitch there anymore at Weber Reserve. Okay. Just down Willoughby Way.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if there's that pitch there anymore. Yeah, I know there used to be one there.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Yeah, I remember I played a couple of junior games with Josh Nicholas.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. Was it Spoof or Sperm they used to call him? Because he was just...
He was a shortish guy.
He was the tiniest, tiniest guy you ever saw.
Yeah, he could run in fast and had a bit of a temper too.
Yeah,
he was a bit of a cranky fast bowler.
Fast bowler and...
Yeah, fast bowler syndrome.
Yeah, very much so.
Yeah, but now he's gentle and plays golf. See, golf brings out the key and, you know, it just relaxes you, golf. You never don't get angry with anyone.
Never been interested in the golf, to be honest with you. I just
so you're no good at it. Huh?
No, I tried it once and I was shit.
I'm out, Stephen. So you've got one more there, I think.
Do I? Yeah. Oh, I do. You're correct. I have an anonymous question, and I actually don't
thanks,
know.
Al.
I don't know who submitted this one. So the question is: did Tom and Andrew Hilditch single-handedly ruin your career by dropping in excess of 9 catches off your bowling in one game?
Tom, it was a fair number, I will give him that, but I think the most person that's dropped any catches in one game off me, I think was Alistair.
Oh.
And I think he dropped 3 in one game against Serpentine Gerardale, including their gun batsman.
What sort of age would Al have been at this time?
Because he would have played... probably only 7, but that's... I mean, there's no excuses, all right? There's no excuses. If he's on the field... No, he would have been 11, 12, 13, 14, 13. He was young, all right? But, I mean, he's got a pair of hands. And I think the easiest catch that's ever been dropped off my bowling was from James August. At mid-off, absolute sitter, ball going to James, you went, oh, God, at least it's going to someone that can catch. And he flopped this ball, and I still can't believe it now.
Might have to get Augie on for a third but, show.
Yeah, I think it might be his fourth if he comes on again.
No, well, he's going to hear this, and he's going
to... I think I may have... Oh, it's hard to believe, but I may have dropped one off his bowling at some stage of our career, but it would have been a tough catch.
Only once.
Yeah. It would have been diving away inches above the ground, you know.
Yeah.
In these days in Test cricket, they'd probably call it hitting the ground. It was only within 3 inches
of... weren't controlling your body at the time.
Do you recall that game with the Hilditches? I'm pretty sure I captained that game.
Was it over at...
it was one of the Sutherland's grounds.
Sutherland's grounds, Gosnell's ground.
And they played one game for the club, and that was the only one. And
It was a lot of balls in the air.
So did maybe you force them to retire? They went, fuck this.
I don't think Jeff came back much after that for that season.
You know, it's the older you get and the harder it is to pull up after a game, and, you know, when you have 9 catches dropped in the game, you start to think, why am I actually doing this? there is some sort of thing that's ticking in your brain going, do you really need you know, Sunday morning to get up and wander around and your wife say, why don't you stand up straight? And you go, well, I'd like to, but I just can't.
I'm quite sore.
Yeah.
Yeah. Another thing, we did it last week when you, or a couple of weeks ago when you were away, Stephen.
Mm-hmm.
A bit more of a game, so I've listed down 11 pairs of players.
Okay.
And we're going to list off the pair, and you've got to select which one you'd have in your team out of the two options.
Okay. Yeah.
So
it doesn't have to be like five, six batsmen, a wicketkeeper, and five.
Whatever
bowlers,
you want.
He's okay, he's going to give you two names, and you've got to pick one.
Okay.
It's going to be Slopper's Rogue 11.
And it's on ability, or is on personality, or a combination of your likes and.
You're the sole arbiter.
Okay. Yeah, you're the coach. You're the captain. I'm the captain. You're everything.
Okay.
So let's just hope that. Most of the, I'm sure you'll know all these names. I tried to make sure that you would. Obviously, I'm not as old as you, Jeff. So I didn't play back in the 70s. So
I can't believe that.
You're older. I wish I had.
Okay.
First of all, the first two, Nick Jackson or Jono Vanderham.
Jono Vanderham.
Okay. Jim August or Dan Jackson.
Jim August.
Murray Williams or Anthony Howard?
Jackson, one of the keys giving me at LBW.
Yeah,
okay,
is.
Yeah. Well, that was a hard choice. That.
Well, if you put him in the opposition, does that mean he's not going to be umpiring? If you self-umpire,
Murray Williams or Anthony Howard?
I'm not even going to tell you that Anthony Howard wins by a country mile. And let's just talk about Tony Howard now. I mean, I've played a lot of cricket with a lot of guys for a long period of time. Tony Howard was the only person that I ever saw that played cricket for probably 20 years straight and never got better. he's just phenomenal about how ordinary he was for those years. He's a lovely guy, and you try his heart out.
Could field a bit. Not
try
bad
his
in the
heart
field.
Out. But he just never got the gist of batting or bowling. I mean, it didn't happen.
How many games do you reckon he played for the club?
Tony Howard, I would have said 120.
Hurricane, Anthony Howard, 247 games.
It's a lot of games. Wow, and you look at his stats, and batting would be under 10, and bowling would be over 50. So there's not a lot there.
91 wickets.
Wow.
At 26.08.
Okay.
That's better than I thought.
It's way better. And batting, but sure.
I was going to say, I'll check out the batting.
Batting's got to be under 10. Yeah. I've never known him to do anything betting.
Do you remember when it was the first time we'd had four teams in forever?
And he batted an innings once.
Yeah, he played in the F troop, we called them.
Yeah.
And he scored 23.
Oh, I can't believe that.
Yeah. He just used to block the whole innings and scrape his way through.
No shot. Most batsmen have got some go-to shot, the cut or the fadeaway pull or
the
scoop.
The Martin dab, yeah.
The Martin dab, yes. That's. I pass that on. Yes.
Anthony Howard, 371 runs at an average of 4.08.
I stand.
It's Martin-esque, but Chris Martin.
For New Zealand.
Yes.
The next two are Don Jagadoge or Colin Smith.
No, Don is good.
Donnie, okay. Dave Blackburn or Ian Price.
Oh, Blackie, for sure.
Blackie.
Yeah.
Hard to get. I mean, six Pricey. Seater. Great
Pricey,
man.
Good
man.
Good player, yeah.
Hard to go past.
Good team, man.
Hard to go past Blackie.
One eye.
Cameron Wiss or Stephen Kemp?
Oh, gee, that's a no-brainer.
Jeez. Well, Wissy was a better bowler.
Fair.
Kempy's a better person. But I'll take Wissy. If I want to win the game, I take Wissy.
Yeah, fair.
Yeah. He can't bat, but Kempy's a better batsman.
Oh, Whiskered. You can bat a bit.
No, he's he took the bat for balance. You know, he's like a person that walks tightrope walker. He took the bat just for balance.
Oh, I thought you were going to say tripod.
No, I can't confirm or deny that.
Bit of shower stuff, yeah.
2-1 game superstars of Kenwick, Andrew Hilditch or Tom Hilditch?
I wouldn't know the difference between the two, so I'm taking Tom.
Tom, okay. Roger Stoll or Paul Del Borello?
Stolle was good. I enjoyed playing with Stolle.
He was a great guy.
Yeah, I'm going with Stolle.
He was a trial, wasn't
like
he?
Del Borello, but he'd send in questions about me, you're in trouble.
Well, I was going to say, Darves would probably still be up in space. He's not going to make the game. Have to pick Roger. It's just around the corner.
Unless you didn't go with a couple of guys like the Viola or the two Frankie boys. Yeah, they were interesting.
Jason Thompson or Matt Waidman?
Oh, that's harsh.
That's pretty harsh.
Oh, that is a tough call.
Mate, I can't make this easy.
This is where you know. Well, Tomo, for sure. You want to play with a good bloke?
Yeah, no, Tomo.
Tomo.
Matty's. Matty will never hear this.
Johnny Sapp or Sean Byrne?
Oh, Johnny Sapp. Oh.
The Don.
He's the man.
The Godfather.
He's.
And finally, Lee Martin or Scott Hartman?
Oh. Unless you didn't say Lee's brother, BJ. Yeah, Scotty Hartman. Yeah, Scotty was. Yeah, we had a pretty good team with Scotty and those guys.
Yeah.
I was going to say, in that side there, you needed a wicketkeeper, didn't you?
Yeah, Scotty Hartman.
Yeah.
So now you got to work out what order you'd put him in. So you've got Jono Vanderham, Jim August, Anthony Howard, Don Jagadige, Dave Blackburn, Cameron Wyth, Tom Hilditch, Roger Stoll, Jason Thompson, John Saff, and Scott Hartman.
Oh, well, Hartman and Saff can. Hartman and Tomo can open the batting. Two left-handers.
That's two. Yeah.
And then you go from the back. So Howard is 11.
You got a couple of 11s.
Yeah, 11. Hilditch 10. And yeah, the rest are just everyone put a pad on and we'll work out
what's going in
when the wicket falls.
I think there's enough talent in there that you can carry him.
We'll go right, left hand. You know, you sort of matchups.
Yeah, okay.
I reckon Wyth is in the top seven there.
Blackie's probably at three, isn't he? He'd be up the top somewhere.
Yeah.
Oh, you got the Johnny Saff.
He is unrelated, underrated batsman. Johnny Saff. He was good.
Still is good.
Yeah.
And good bowler.
Very much so.
And knows
very
how to bowl on the stumps. Oh. Just a, you know.
Yeah, superstar.
Can you believe, in terms of wicket takers for the club, Johnny Saff only, I say only, and this is probably where my cricket is incorrect, but 207 wickets.
I would say that would be close because he does miss a lot of cricket because of work.
He does. He used to miss a lot of around Christmas and January. December, January games where he went missing, and then he come back for the games and then the final.
Well, yeah. It says he's played 180. He's played for a long time, hasn't he?
He did tell me that early in his career he used to not really get a bowl.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, he used to play and didn't really bowl.
Yeah. So that's how we know that they were better in the 90s than they are today. Because John Saff could play second grade comfortably.
Yeah.
This year?
Yeah.
I'd say so, yeah.
He won't because he's.
Oh, he won't.
Yeah. But look, if he says I want to play second grade, he's it.
You want to talk to Scotty Hartman? He might come back for a game.
We have tried. He might have played a game last season.
Filled in one or two, didn't he?
Played a couple the year before. He played in Tomo's 450th.
Yeah.
Okay.
Still has it. He says he doesn't. He comes down for one game, makes 30 odd.
Yes.
Keeps the house down.
He's put on a few kilos these days, which it's no longer a stick insect.
Any other questions you want to ask Stephen before we wrap up?
In going through, yearbooks and things like that, I tried to prepare a little bit. One thing that did catch my eye, and I'll read this to you. So from the 1999 Kenwick yearbook, there's a section that lists notable performances of the first 50 years of the club. It reads, in a third grade game played on the 20th and 27th of February 1993, Jeff Martin took 7 for 57 and then scored 112.
Against Armidale?
Gosnells. Gosnells made 233.
Oh, yes, Gosnells.
You then came in to bat at number 6 with Kenwick in the precarious position of 4 for 35. So what are your recollections of that day? Pretty reasonable day out, 7 for 100.
I think I opened the bowling for that day.
20 overs straight?
Yeah, so I was basically a bowler. And the first over, I got 2 wickets in the first over. The first wicket I got was down the leg side. He nicked it down the leg side. And the second one, the number 3 came in and dabbed it straight to gully. So I got 2 for none in the first over. And then may have picked up a wicket and then went off. And then came back and picked up 3 more. Yeah, it was a solid day. And then, batting-wise, I was hitting the ball pretty well that day. Yeah. Wasn't a bad day.
It doesn't say off how many, but given your proclivity for...
Well, batting number 6, so probably still winning early. So, a 40-over game?
I'm not sure. I think it was a two-dayer. Yeah, two-dayer.
Two-dayer?
Yeah, two-dayer.
So, 75-over game?
I think it would be about that.
What, did I get 100 and something?
112.
Out?
I believe so.
But after we won the game, probably.
Kenwick did win the game.
Yeah, so I probably got out after we won the game because I didn't worry about not outs, red inks. You know, I wasn't the Stephen Kemp of those days. You know,
You just said we've got to value our wickets.
Well, yeah. Not when you win the game. It's time to drink alcohol and celebrate. Okay.
Actually, I wanted to ask you. You coached Alistair, myself, Anthony Futerick,
yes.
Players that I can think of that are still involved at the club. You coached in under 10s and under 13s, and I have a very distinct memory. And I have talked about it on this podcast, so forgive me already. But I remember I was quite infatuated with Ian Harvey, the freak, and all the varieties of slow balls that he bowled. And I remember walking up to you as about a 10 or maybe an 11-year-old and saying, "Oh, hey Jeff, how do you bowl a slow ball?" And you said to me, "Just bowl it slower."
Classic.
And I was searching for some profound wisdom in that, and I walked away.
Well, at least it didn't confuse you.
No, well, I was thoroughly confused, thoroughly searching for the wisdom. Do you recall much about coaching, Alan, myself, or the junior days?
I thought we had a reasonable side. I mean, I don't think it was a strong side, but I know that... the problem in those days is the coaches were usually the umpires, and a lot of the coaches took the games very seriously. I wasn't that serious, but I liked to win. But I know that Alistair got a lot of bad decisions, and I thought, LBW when you get hit on the hip, when you're turning the ball down the leg side, is probably there's an element of doubt there that, and these coaches have lined up who they're best, and they just wanted to win at all costs. It's just sad that that's what junior cricket got to.
Mm.
But it was a good side. Wouldn't have had any problems with them. I mean, they're all pretty easygoing kids at 10, 11. Otherwise, I would have kicked you in the ass. I mean, my way or the highway, isn't it, Matty?
Oh, yeah. You have to go with that.
Yes.
So if you do come back this year and play a couple of games, do you think there's any chance if you play over 4 or 5 years, you might still get to 500?
500 what, games?
Yeah. No, not far off.
I mean,
a few washouts, we just name in them. You probably played a game last year in a washout.
Look, if you took all my four-day games in the 70s and we had played 2 days, we didn't even play 2 and 1 day games. It was only 14 games in the season. That was it for the whole season, or 10, 11 games for the season. So if you had each day of that, I've probably played 1,000 days of cricket.
Oh, easily.
That's not including when you're in the country.
Yeah, well, country played the years in Katanning. At Nanup, they didn't have an outdoor cricket team. We used to play outdoors with an indoor ball. played a couple of, they're no talent at all there at all. But up in Derby, I played 2 years in Derby, and they had some very good cricketers. My last game of cricket in Derby, because I did the census in... for the whole of the Kimberley in 1991, and then got my marching orders out of Derby, and it was the end of the season because they played in the winter up there, which is their cool time, and we played Mary Island in the semi-finals, and we scored 240 or 50. It was a big score. I mean, no one's going to chase that down, and I was leaving after that game to drive to Perth. So at the break, there was already talk about, well, we're going to fly you back up for the game next Saturday and, just for the one-off game and, spend the night and go home the next day. Well, they got the runs. I had probably too many beers that I should have. I probably had 6 to 8 beers, jumped in the car, and I was home at Perth at about midnight that night. No, it was about midnight I pulled in. So left at 4, got to Karratha. There was that many cattle and kangaroos on the road that I had to stop and have a sleep for 6 hours and drove from Karratha straight through to Perth. I was there 24 hours later, I was in Perth after having a few beers. It was an interesting time.
Well,
get the map out, Matthew. That's not a short drive.
No, it's it was a fair drive.
I think we're pretty much done here, Stephen. If you want
as much as I hate it, you should probably ask him your favourite question.
Oh, I do. Yeah, I do have a question for you, Jeff. Now, if you're at home and you decide you're going to cook up dinner for the family, and you're like, I'm going to cook a stir fry. Would you go with rice or noodles?
Is it what I would like, or is it what like the family would like?
Whatever you think.
You're the chef.
I would say rice would be more popular with my family than noodles.
Okay.
Basically, but if I go to Thailand next month, I'll be having mainly noodles.
All right.
Because I like noodles over rice. But nice. I mean, if it had brown rice or something like that, but my family is just so boring, they like white rice, and it's just a filler, isn't it? There's nothing to it.
Doesn't do anything for you?
No.
Well, fair enough.
Noodles have got a bit of oomph to it.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I'm a noodles man.
Yeah, I'm a noodle guy.
The family is a white rice family.
Yeah, very nice. Okay. That was a great question to ask to finish off. Yes, I know you love that one, Steve.
One final one. Richard Pinto wrote in last time for Augie. What's the combination that you put your shoes and socks on? Is it left sock, right sock, left shoe, right shoe, or like do you go a bit rogue?
Is it sock shoe,
yeah,
sock shoe shoe?
No, I don't think there's. I have no habits. No, yeah, I did go to bat once and I forgot my box. And I went to sort of
adjust
things around after, you know, facing a couple of walls, went, that was a bad mistake. Because then I had to wait to the end of the over. And so I'm sort of playing away from my body a little bit. And, but no superstitions on dressing attirements. So and I was happy to have clean socks and clean underwear.
Because we need to ask all of our constituents this question, I feel.
Yeah, I like it. It's a good one from Pinto.
It's dead set hard drives, like someone's a fucking psychopath if they're going sock, shoe, sock, shoe.
Yeah, I can't imagine
sock,
doing
sock,
that.
Sock, shoe, shoe.
Yeah.
And how is Heathcote Hospital with Richard? Is he out yet or is he still there?
So Richard Pinto?
Yeah, the mental institution.
Oh, no, so he asked in inquiry of Augie, but no, didn't do it himself.
Well, we assume thankfully. Not.
No.
Yeah. Although,
but if he's thinking that line, he needs to.
Pinto, let us know, please.
He needs to visit the mental home at Heathcote and spend a couple of hours there.
Yeah, sort his life out.
Sort him out.
I do have one other question.
It's almost my bedtime, Maddie.
The Jeff Martin medal.
Yes.
Now, obviously, that's been around since I've been at the club. I reckon that's changed what it's awarded for probably five or six times. What would you like it awarded for?
Look, honestly, I don't think it really matters, does it? It's the spirit. It's the just recognising that I might have done something for the club, and you're happy to name something after me. It could be for the worst dressed or the person puts on his left shoe, right shoe award, and I'd be happy.
Yeah.
So, because you can't, if it's Cricket of the Year, then that's a pretty basic. There's the formula, and you can't break away from that. So yeah, it's more of a. It's not a exact science, is it, the award? It's a little bit of this and a little bit of that. It's not Clubman of the Year, and it's not this and it's not that, is it? So it is quite an awkward question. So whatever the club feels fit, that's... Yeah.
I liked that when I was...
As long as you don't put the word memorial in front of it.
Yeah.
That's the part that I like.
Yeah, we'll keep that for a while, I reckon. Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, a good long while, yeah. Okay. I liked it when it was player, when we got everyone to do 3-2-1s after the game.
We've done that, but I think last year it might have been the club. I can't remember. It just changes so much.
Last year, I think we did it as the podcast player of the year.
No, I think 2 years ago we did. I don't know if last season we did.
Podcast player of the year.
We have a podcast vote, but I think we were looking at maybe naming that after Riley now.
Yeah, I think that's right.
Unfortunately, passed away.
Yeah, that was sad.
Might ask Kelly about that before we do. I'm sure she'll be on board.
Yeah, I think that's a good shout. I think we should bring back players player, Jeff Martin medal.
We should.
Yeah. Make the captain's responsibility to get 3-2-1.
Have you got any influence at the club at the moment?
I stepped away from the on the committee, so I'm not on the committee. Because I'm junior vice president of the association. So
who's the president?
The acting president is now Pete Anderson of Maddington.
Okay.
Mm. He stepped into that position within the last 24 hours, as it goes. Yeah.
Who vacated?
Mark Rice of CBC. He's a youngish guy, about my age. It was going to be his second year, but had to step away for personal reasons.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yep.
So all the old fellas are gone. You know the old
John Griffin's stepped away as of this year.
Gary Hartman's still there.
Yeah, Gary's there. Gary's doing good. I saw him on Monday.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. Last Monday. Yeah.
Got to get him a shirt. He wants a shirt.
Oh,
we've got to get him one.
Give me the shirt. I'll give it to him.
Did he talk about his trip to Europe?
Well, I asked him about it. He unfortunately got COVID.
Yeah, he got COVID first 10 days of his 3-week trip to Europe. Poor Imagine going over there for that long and getting COVID.
Yeah.
Sad.
Yeah, very, very sad.
Yeah, well, thank you, Jeff. It's been a pleasure having you on. I'm sure we'll get him back on in the future.
Yeah, well, you said you're retired, so...
Yeah, I've retired, yeah.
Bit of spare time.
We'll see you at the first pre-season training.
Yeah, was that early August?
Yeah. First Saturday.
Okay, yeah, well, I might come down and wave my arms
around. You never know. Yeah.
Why not?
Training coordinator. That sounds good,
doesn't it? Oh, that'd be handy.
Could always use a volunteer.
Yes. Hey, I'll be there with Al.
Yep. We'll probably see you more than Al.
Yeah, true.
Thank you to our sponsors, Keegan & Co, Rorty Plumbing, and the Atfield Tavern.
On your Dan Narico.
Yep. Good man.
And the people of Keegan & Co, if you have any legal issues.
Yeah, sort them out. Yeah. They'll sort you out.
We'll see you next time.
The Kemmick Royals Cricket Club podcast is proud to be sponsored by Royalty Plumbing. Royalty Plumbing is a reliable plumbing, gas and electrical company dedicated to providing quality service throughout the Perth area. Give them a call today on 9451 7735.